Well, if you need reviving, and I do, the reading from which I'm going to preach is as reviving as it can get. Revelation chapter 22. The book of Revelation is often concerned with future things. Things not yet, but will be. So Revelation chapter 22 and verse 1. This is the John speaking. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its streets, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp, no light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Amen. Well, what a wonderful passage upon which to preach. What a wonderful passage to consider and mull over on our journey home. What a wonderful passage to reflect upon in the watches of the night. What a wonderful passage to turn to when life is dark. And this is where we are going. This is where we are heading. This is where we truly belong. Everyone who has come to God to have their sin forgiven through the Lord Jesus Christ, this is where they will one day be. And I want to have particular regard for that peculiar phrase in verse 2. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. The tree in particular, according to the earlier part in verse 2, is the tree of life. Now, I read earlier from the second book of Genesis because you have the tree of life at the beginning of the Bible and the tree of life at the end of the Bible. I believe it was a literal tree. I believe it will be a literal tree, though there may well be some poetic value in the passage too. And God intended us from the very outset to live forever. God intended us from the very beginning to walk with him. But sin, the fall, triggered as it were by that seemingly small act of rebellion by Eve and Adam, damaged our relationship with God. Adam and Eve were expelled from Eden. From paradise they could no longer dwell. And from the tree of life, they could no longer take of its fruit. And so from Genesis throughout the progression of books which follow, we see the unfolding, the slow, partial revealing of God's great plan to bring us back. To bring us back where? To bring us back to Eden. To bring us back to the tree of life to bring us back to himself. And there are times in the Bible when people have tried of their own merit, of their own volition, to get there. The Tower of Babel is a fine example of that. But we can't force ourselves into Eden. We can't replant the tree of life. We have no entitlement to re-enter paradise, which is why we come across that wonderful, wonderful biblical word, grace. The undeserved favour. The unmerited kindness of God, which says to people who do not deserve, come and enjoy it for free. We might be sinful, but God is gracious. We might be fallen, but he is compassionate. And the God who, because he was so righteous, expelled Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden, determined that one would volunteer to become the sin bearer. To use Peter's expression, would die on the tree. The tree, of course, meaning the cross. The cross, I guess, is a dead tree. Adam and Eve are expelled from the presence of the tree of life. The Lord Jesus is fastened to a dead tree, a tree of death, that we who believe in him might return to the tree of life and enjoy it forever. We call that the gospel. It means good news. Of course, there are other varieties of good news available. You might think the weather is good news, but it will change. A fall in unemployment might be good news, but eventually it will go back up again. The doctor might give us a clean bill of health until our next appointment. But this is good news that will not go away. This is good news which will always be true. Think back to that psalm we sang. His truth endureth to all generations. The truth of the gospel. Well, let's consider that phrase. In the middle of, this is New Jerusalem, was a street, and on either side of the river was the tree of life. I can't imagine a tree being either side of a river. It's usually on one side or the other. Somehow, this supernaturally planted tree is on both sides of a supernatural river. It's a fruit tree. And well might it be, because Adam and Eve were put into Eden among the fruit trees. And this too is a fruit tree. Every month, it bears fruit. Not just once a year. Not just when there's been a suitable ratio of rain and sunshine. Not when the green fly have left it alone. But every month, it yields a crop of fruit. Some commentators say it is symbolic that instead of there being one harvest per year, or perhaps two, as some of the Jews had, but there is a harvest every month. In other words, it is a more fruitful, prosperous time than any other time we've ever enjoyed. Others say perhaps it is a literal feast which will be arranged month after month after month. But what of that phrase, the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations? Surely, in this wonderful final state, and we can't quite call this going to heaven, because if you read chapter 21, you've got heaven coming down to a new earth. We are so used to walking round on this earth and God being in heaven, but New Jerusalem is the very presence of God and human beings coming to live together forever. This is earth as it was meant to be. Surely, in this place of all places, there should be no need for healing. What might healing refer to? There are people in our congregation who are sick. And I and some of us on a Wednesday evening have prayed for the healing of their body. And sometimes God does heal the body miraculously. Sometimes he heals it, not in a spectacular way, perhaps using normal means, but sometimes not. Sometimes our minds needs healing. Things we've seen, things we've heard, things through which we have been, and there has been damage. But the scriptures speak of the Lord renewing our mind, taking that which is damaged and breathing new life, restoring it. Sometimes the scriptures speak of healing in terms of salvation. There's a wonderful prophecy in the book of Isaiah regarding the coming deliverer, the coming Messiah. Isaiah, as it were, looked away into the distance. He knew that a deliverer, a Messiah, a Christ was coming. He didn't know his name, but he knew he would come. He says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned each one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And not very far away from there, he says, and by his stripes we are healed. A stripe there refers to a welt or a cutting of his back by a Roman whip. He has been hurt, torn, whipped, disfigured, that we might be healed. Contrary to some, I do not believe Jesus Christ went to the cross in order to heal my body. He can do that anyway. The Lord Jesus went to the cross to heal my spirit, which was deadened and diseased by sin. So, if you are a Christian, you have received and are still receiving the healing of your spirit. You have received and you are receiving the healing or the renewal of your mind. And I know some of you have received and you may be receiving healing
of the body. But most of us, unless we're on the earth when the Lord returns, we are going to die of something. And we might say, "Oh Lord, heal me." And the Lord says, "No, my child, I'm calling you home. I've something better for you than to patch up your body." So, is the healing in verse 2 that kind of healing? Surely in New Jerusalem, our bodies will not become sick. That sounds rather like where we live now, and this ain't New Jerusalem. Is it referring to the healing of our mind? Surely not. The healing of our spirits. If this has taken place after the resurrection, we will be in new bodies by then. When I was young, I didn't appreciate this. I appreciate it more and more as time goes on. But one day, we will have a new body. A body that does not age. It does not wear out. It does not go wrong. It doesn't catch illnesses or inherit them. A perfect new resurrection body. Surely that healing, that renewal is already so perfect and complete. Well, we're told the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. How does one heal a nation? I remember in my youth going to prayer meetings to pray for Britain. And people would pray and sometimes even sing, "Lord, heal our nation." I used to wonder then, what would a healed nation look like? How would we know that it had been healed? Or was it just a pleasant phrase? Is a healed nation where there's no crime? Perfect government? Is a healed nation where everyone goes to church? Well, there was a time in this land when everyone did go to church pretty much, but I wouldn't describe it as a theological paradise, far from it. Nations, of course, may refer to countries, the large units of people which occupy tracts of territory, or it might refer to ethnic groups. We know that there are certain nationalities which clash with other certain nationalities, Jew and Arab. There are clashes with India and Pakistan. There's not much love between Russian and Ukrainian. Is it referring to the fact that here, all the different people, the tribes, the tongues, the nationalities, throughout history, are somehow all together, no longer having politics divide them, no longer having nationality or flags or passports dividing them? The wars of the past, the injustice of the present, no longer dividing them. Well, I think that is certainly true of New Jerusalem. People won't be falling out because of who they vote for, or over territory, or empire, or history. In short, there will be nothing in New Jerusalem to make us ill, to trouble our mind, to damage our spirit, to harm our relationships with our fellow denizens of that great place? To what then is it referring? The more I think about the phrase, the more I think it's wise not to take it in isolation, but to see it as the complete reversal of the fall in Genesis chapter 3. Indeed, there are parallels. Verse 3, there shall be no more curse. What does that mean? Does it just mean there'll be no bad language? Well, I'm glad to hear it, but I'd rather expect more. Well, the curse, of course, is referring to God's curse which he proclaimed upon the ground. The curse is gone. We also know that there is a barrier between God and mankind, but what do we also read in verse 3? But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him. Life on a fallen planet is characterized by each person serving themselves, each person promoting his or her own interests. Here, we've got people completely and beautifully serving God. Some of us in the morning Bible study on a Thursday were looking at Exodus chapters 33 and 34. Moses wants to see the glory of God. Normally we'd consider it an impertinent request, but the Lord does not chide him for it. And he says, I will cause my glory to pass you by. I will hide you in the cleft of the rock. You may see my back, but not my face. For no one can see me and live. And yet, what do we have here? Because of our sin, we cannot comprehend or behold the glory and the presence of God. But we have here, they shall see his face. The face of God, brighter than the sun, more beautiful than anything we could ever imagine, more mesmerizing, more fascinating than anything else we will see. There's also a sense in the fall in which God disowns Adam and Eve. They've broken his law. They want to go their own way. Off you go. Go on, work for your bread. But now, his name shall be on their forehead. Another strange picture, but a beautiful picture of communion whereby we belong to him, and there is his name. His name, which is unpronounceable, is written upon us. There shall be no night there. Men prefer darkness because their deeds are evil. But there's no darkness there. There's no evil there. There are no muggers waiting for the sun to go down. They need no lamp, nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. Furthermore, life on a fallen planet invariably involves oppression. Oppression by a government, by a master, by an employer, by a family member. But here they shall reign forever and ever. Even the least among them is reigning. So what we have here at the beginning of Revelation chapter 22 is a reversal of the fall. A picture of how God intended life on planet Earth to be. And that phrase, the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, I think is a beautiful way of saying, no more suffering. No more death. No more dying. No more illness. No more goodbyes. No more mourning. No more grieving. The former things have passed away.
As I've already said, there are times in our lives when things all seem to work out. When we are happy. When things are as they ought to be. But it doesn't last. The healing. The wholeness. The health. The vigour, the liveliness spoken of in that phrase for the healing of the nations, the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, is communicating to us the long term, the eternal nature of this healthiness. It will be forever. I've already said, I've already identified healthfulness and vigour to be a characteristic of the young. And if we come across an older person who seems good at walking or looking after themselves, we call them sprightly because it's unusual. Not here. These people live forever, never suffering illness or harm, never bruising or bleeding, because the tree of life in their midst, which provides them with food month after month after month, is constantly rejuvenating, healing, restoring, renewing. What a wonderful future God has planned for all who trust him. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, the things which God hath prepared. Your faith needs reviving. Don't meditate on where you are, but look ahead to where you're going. It might be Ezekiel has a similar vision in the 47th of his prophecy, though he speaks of trees in the plural rather than the singular. But he says in the 12th verse thereof, along the bank of the river, and on this side and that will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month, because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for medicine. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful promises found in your word. Lord, I'm sure I'm not the first one to confess that I do not fully understand, nor can I adequately explain, even to myself, the full meaning of them. But Lord, we are called to trust and to believe, and we pray that you will give us the grace and the power to do so. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.